Okay, so the last 2 weeks we discussed the overarching nature of the prohibition of Onah, of the obligation to return it. Today and next week, I want to start getting into the details of it, specifically analyzing the 1/6 parameters, the definition, where it comes from, its applications, and four or five different sugyas in the perek, which some of them we'll return to in greater detail later. The first thing I want to do today is outline the basic theory of how this 1/6, more than a sixth, less than a sixth, works. And then I want to, with whatever time we have, figure out where we came up with the number, the magic number, 1/6. It's not quite in the order that I sent it out in the Makaros, but okay. Fine. So the basic sugya begins at number one. Right, so this we've already seen. Amarava hilchesa pachos mishtus nikne mekach. If it's exactly 1/6 that you overcharge, less than 1/6. Oh God, this is how tired I am. 18 hours here on Sunday, and already I'm in advance tired. Okay, pachos mishtus. If it's less than a sixth, so then nikne mekach. Then it's the sale goes through. Yoser al shtus, if it's more than a sixth, the bitul mekach, the sale is invalidated. Shtus, if it's exactly 1/6, so then kana umachzer una. So the sale works, you've acquired the object, but you have to return the 1/6, whether you are the buyer or the seller, whoever was the one who now has this ona in his possession has to return it. You have enough time in these cases to go and show the object either to a professional, to a businessman, or to a relative to get an assessment to see whether you were overcharged or underpaid. Tani kavas into Rava, and we have a brisa like Rava. Ona apachon mishtos nigne mekach. Yes, al shtos batal mekach. Shtos kano machzer ona. Divrei Rabbi Nasan. Right, the position of Rabbi Nasan is like Rava. Less than a sixth, nothing you can do about it. A sixth, you return the ona. More than a sixth, the entire sale is invalidated. Yehuda Nasi Omer Yad Mocher al ha'el yona. The seller has the upper hand. Rotsa omer lo tainli mekhe, o tainli masha anisani, vizeb vizebach deshir litakar krovo. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is a different position, that the seller has the upper hand. He can either say, give me the sale, or give me the ona'a. But we paskin like the first position of Rava, then either direction, whether the buyer or the seller was the one who was disadvantaged, we go by these magic numbers of a sixth, more than a sixth, and less than a sixth. We may come back to Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's position, but let's start with the way we paskin, with the position of Rava and the position of Rabbi Nasan in the Braisa. Okay. So a fundamental question arises with how to view these three numbers, right? This cutoff point at 1/6, and then everything before above it and everything below it. One way of viewing it, and this is based on a shir klali I heard from Lichtenstein 9 years ago, I think, I then emailed my chavrusa for notes from then, because I couldn't find my notes, and he looked through it, and the last time he had sent anyone the notes was when he sent it to my wife, 5 years ago. So, there you go. I don't know what to make of that, except that apparently we're interested in the same sugyas. So Rav Aharon said, there's basically two ways of understanding this spectrum. One way of understanding this is to say that it really is, as I just said, a spectrum. It's a range, right? Less than a sixth, we just assume, for whatever reason, as we'll get into, that people forgive it, it's not significant, it's derek mekach, or this is the way that you do sales, that you build in a sixth of overcharging, potentially. However, we're going to interpret it, and we're going to get to that, or it's exerus. Because some of you think that's what it is, or lach l'moshe misinai, whatever it is, less than a sixth, we've just defined as insignificant. More than a sixth is just really, really significant. And therefore, it totally invalidates the sale, right? If I overcharged you by 35%, so the sale disappears, it was just too egregious of a mistake, of a fraud, whatever the case may be, so the sale just goes away. And then a sixth is this magic number that, well, it's bad, so you can't keep it, but it's not so bad that you could look at the sale and say, this whole sale was made in error. It's it's the magic moment where, it's not too bad, but it's pretty bad, so the compromise we come up with is you return the 1/6. Now, Rilichenstein said, and we'll see, the Ari Shonin that pushed in this direction, but he preferred a different perspective. which is to say no. Right? As we've talked about, Onah is really complicated. Because Onah is not a classic gzela, right? Even if you think the reason you have to return the money is because it's, you know, it's you stole the money, quote unquote. It's not a normal scale, normal case of stealing, because in the end of the day, you made an agreement. And like any agreement, there are two parties. There's a buyer and there's a seller. There's going to be an overcharge and there's going to be an undercharge. There's going to be a person who wants the sale to go through and there's going to be a person who doesn't want the sale to go through. There's going to be a person who wants back his money and a person who doesn't want back his money. And like everything else in Dine Mamonos, the way we work out Dine Mamonos is we try to create a system that deals with every factor at the same time and comes up with the most fair system. Right, as the Rishonim note, right, while in general, by the rule by ritual law is safek d'araisa l'chumra, safek d'rabban l'kula, the biblical law we would go and we'd be stringent, rabbinic law we wouldn't, we would go l'kula, we would be lenient. By dine mamonos, by monetary law, that makes no sense because every question definitionally has two different people who are vying for the rights and whatever you're talking about. So if you're quote-unquote lenient with one person, you're stringent against the person who now has to pay him, or vice versa. So there is no such thing. So Lichtenstein said that that's really, we have to rethink Onah. And we have to remember that in Onah, there are multiple things going on. On the one hand, the undercharged or the underpaid or overcharged person has the right to not be defrauded out of money. But on the other hand, he entered into a willing agreement with the other party, and that person has a right to not see every sale that he tries to do, even if, you know, he accidentally overcharged someone by 5 cents, collapse and be afraid that the that he couldn't, right, be sure, as the Rishonim will note, right, by Yireh L'Tagar, right? Why is it that after you've shown it to a merchant, even more egregious types of onah might not go back? Because at some point, the monetary system has to stand. You have the right to know that once I've entered into an agreement, I've entered into a sale, it's going to stand. So the laws of onah need to compromise or need to work out the competing rights of the buyer and the seller, of the mi'aneh and the mitaneh, because both of them actually have rights in this system. And therefore, he argued, it looks, as I remember him saying, it looks like it's a ladder, right? When you're low on the ladder, so you just nullify it and you forgive it. When you're too high up the ladder, the whole thing collapses. And when you're exactly at the right point, you can get off, but you have to return too much. But he said, what you have to really do is think about it as two ladders that are attached and going in opposite directions, right? And when the money is too little, right, the rights of the mi'aneh, the rights of, let's say, the mocher, for argument's sake, right, overpower, because I have the right to not worry that if I overcharge you 5 cents that my deal is going to collapse. If it's too much, right, if it's, then it's so egregious that the whole sale collapses because we have the right, the buyer and seller have the right to enter into an agreement, which is reasonable. And then add a sixth, right, when you realize that you're competing forces, there has to be a point where their rights are equal.
Is that any different from the first formulation?
Well, it is, and we'll see it in a second, right? What's the nafkamina is what we'll see in a second, right? And add a sixth, right, you're compromising the rights, and therefore you keep the sale, but you have to return it. Now, what's the nafkamina? So as he noted, there's a fundamental machlokas, or Ben Yonah quotes, of under what circumstances you can back out. Right? So if you look at number two, Omer of Chista, this is the Gemara, in Bava Basra, Macha lo shava chamesh b'sheish, v'hukar v'amen al shmona. What happens if you sold something for five, for six, right? So it's onah, and now it's worth eight. So mi nit'ane, lokeach. So who was cheated out of money? Who was defrauded? The buyer. So lokeach yachol lachzer b'velo mocher. Only the buyer is allowed to retract, even though now for him it's great. Why would he want to retract? Right? Because now, sure, he bought it for $600. It was worth $500, but now it's worth $800. So he could retract if he really wanted to, but why would he want to? And obviously now the seller is going to say, I really want to get out of this, right? I'm sorry, I overcharged you, it really was wrong. Right? Here's your $600 back, give it back, and he's going to sell it for $800. But he can't do that. Mishum d'amar le ilu lo oni san lavi matzad haderbach. Because this buyer will just say, what do you mean? You want it back because out of the goodness of your heart, now you feel bad, you overcharged me. If you hadn't overcharged me, you couldn't get out of this. Now what? Because you defrauded me, you overcharged me, you get the object back to sell it for a higher price? No, your fault. I get the $200 profit. Ha shadoni son matzir hadarbach v'tani tuna yafos v'nim tiros lokech yacholachs or bavelom mocher. And the same thing is true if you buy what you thought was good produce and it turns out to be bad, but then it goes up in value. So now it's in the best interest of the buyer to keep it anyways, right? Because you bought something that you thought was worth 300, right? It was worth. Right, it's worth 200, but now it's worth 600. It's obviously you want to keep it, even if you didn't know how good the quality was. In that case, we give the rights to the one who was disadvantaged. Now, this is a very specific case, namely where the price changed. But what about in a normal case? Right, it doesn't go up. 500, right, it's worth 500, he sold it for 600. Or 600, right? Or not 600. 601, okay? More than a sixth. So, let's say, for whatever reason, the mocher wants to get out of it. He's decided he really wants his corn, right? He really wants his car, whatever. He wants it. Not because the value went up. He just wants it back. And he realized that he has an out because I overcharged more than a sixth, and the halacha is bitul mekach. So can he go back to the seller and demand, sorry, the buyer and demand that even though I overcharged you, I want it back because, right, bitul mekach, the sale was so off, right? I want to go back on it, right? Did he buy himself the right through his, you know, defrauding to get out of the sale in its entirety or not? So this is the machlokes of Rabbeinu Yonah cites. So he says, "V'kaimelon kelin darmin b'shmeitzin demishin is ana yochel lachzer b'v'loham me'ane." In this case, we say, in this unique case of the five sold for six, which goes to eight, we say that only the person who was disadvantaged can get out of it. Afal bi she'ira sham acher kach bitul mekach etzlo mishum da'amar le ilav da'onisan v'chule. So it's im kein be'onan yes mishus nami neima demishan es ana yochal achter bo v'lo ha'ma'ane. So maybe in a normal case, right, I sold it for six and a half and it was worth five, I can't get out of it for any reason. Mishum da'amar le ilav da'onisan v'chule, because the buyer can just say to me, the only reason you are trying to get out of this is because you overcharged me. You have no right. Or the other way around. Uperek azav amrin behedya. But he said, but that's not what the words Rava said, because he said, the Gemara in Bava Basra appears in a very specific case in Bava Basra, but it doesn't appear in Bava Metzia. Look at the words of Rava. Rava says explicitly, di yeser mishtosh shnehem chuzrin. More than a six, they can both retract. V'yesh lomri says why? The b'yeser mishtus ain shum toris mekach klal. When it's more than a sixth off, there was no sale, right? Because definitionally, when it was too much in one direction, the sale just collapsed. It's not anymore about, right, negotiating rights, because once it hit past a sixth, right, halachically, we had defined that as an egregious violation of the rules of commerce that the Torah never recognized the sale to begin with. And therefore, he says, "Ulagabe mishenes ana kevin jamekach rachok mem karo." The kevin the lesser lemechar kol ikar ain kan meshicha klal. And therefore, there was no kinyan, there was no sale, there was no nothing. Umeela gama ma'ana yachal achzer bo mashe ain kin biyofos v'nim tsuros b'toras mecher yisham afilu gami mashenes ana. So he said there is no sale, which is not true in the case of Bava Basra. Right, when it was good versus bad, so the sale worked. Without getting into why the sale worked there, but the sale worked. Elakavan dihi too yacholachzer, but there was a little bit of deceit, so he's allowed to retract. V'chein v'machar lo shav v'chamesh b'sheish b'toras mecher hayu b'shas mecher l'gavim mishin nizane hilchach afa b'shokru v'yisham bitul mekach l'gavim mocher matzi amar le'ilav doni son v'chule. And when it went 5, 6, 8, it was exactly a sixth, which means halachically the sale stood. It was just a question of returning the onah. And now, right, the sale stood. Now it's just a question of returning the onah, retracting, etc. But in those cases, the sale stood. But if you went past the sixth and the sale collapses, it's not anymore about the rights of the disadvantaged, right? There were different factors competing. One of them, which was the Torah objectively said, at a certain point, if the price was so far off of the actual sale price, the Torah can't recognize it, because that's part of how we built the system of Dinei Mamonos. That there's a Yesh Gvul, there's a line past which, right, no one has the right to call this a sale. We just don't define it as a sale. And therefore, even the person who was the me'aneh, who was guilty of the crime of ona'ah, even he can get out of it. So Rav Aaron said, what's this based on? Right, and then, well, first we'll read the other position. V'harav Rav Yitzchak bar Mordechai me'alamanya, right, from Alamein, right, the Rivam, Hayomer no, ha darin has and the bit omekach shem chozrin, haynu gagon shem is ana tovei ha'ona'ah. He said, no. The only time the overcharger can get out of it is if the overcharged wants to get out of it. But if, let's say, the overcharged says, no, I understand I was overcharged 25%. You want it back? Too bad. I don't care. Keep your 25%. I don't care. So then, the overcharger can't get out of the deal, right? He may want to, but the overcharged said, I was disadvantaged. I have the rights, just like we have in Bava Basra. Calls man sheino toveh ha'onah v'chafetz b'mekho eina me'aneh chozer bo mishum damar le'ilav doni son. And therefore the overcharger can't get out of it. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says, v'lo eschaver lan. I don't get it. Why? D'shneim chozerin stamah kamrin. It just says everybody can get out of it. U'stamah lav b'toveh ha'onah arinan. It doesn't matter whether he wants the overcharged money back. Sharein yachol l'tbo ha'onah b'yetzer mishtus. Ela o yevat al mekach o yitzratu bo v'anaso. He said, no, that doesn't work that way. That's not how this system was played out. Less than a sixth, it is a full sale. More than a sixth, the rules of commerce tell you, it collapses. The sixth is the magic number where it's not too egregious to call it a bad sale, but it's too significant to just be mochel it. And therefore, the sale will stand. Because from the vantage point of the world of commerce, this is the type of sale that's not considered a mekachtos. But from the vantage point of, right, violating of rights, it was too much of a violation of rights, you have to give it back.
But this isn't yet enough communion between the two approaches. This will be true for both of them.
What?
This will be true for both ways that you phrase things in the beginning. Whether you view 1/6...
So this is where Rav Aaron said no. He said the Rivam, what's the Rivam viewing this as? He is saying that the laws of ona'ah are a ladder from the vantage point of the disadvantaged. Right? Less than a sixth, I have no rights. At a sixth, I have the right to get my money back, but not to nullify the sale. And more than a sixth, I have the right to demand the whole sale to be undone. Right? But there are no rights to the mi'aneh. Right?
Don't we define the rights of the mit'aneh based on the rights of the ma'aneh? And the reason why the ma'aneh does not have the right at less than a sixth is because... the reason why the mit'aneh doesn't have the right at less than a sixth is because there's a ma'aneh on the other side. If the world was only
correct,
about the rights of the mit'aneh, then he would say it one penny more.
Right, meaning... Right, they are chofeif in a certain way, right?
You could just say that everything is based on the mit'aneh. Less than a sixth, he just doesn't care.
Well, I mean, that's the other way. It's to say it's actual mechila and doesn't care. It's not his rights. It's just he actually doesn't care.
You get into mechila question,
which is what we're going to come back to, yeah. Right? But as Rav Aaron said, right, the position of the Rivam is clearly based on primarily a mitaneh based model, where right, I have a certain rights. Less than a sixth, it could be. Right, remember, there's all the machlokas about shtos. What if I actually said I was machmed, right? Mm-hmm. Or what if it's Madveya, where we know you're Makbet, or whatever the case may be, there will be cases. So, if it's really pure Mechila, then no, there are no rights to the Me'aneh, it's just the Me'aneh really doesn't care.
Right.
Right? So Rav Aaron said, look, the Rivam's position is based on this, right, continuum. At less than a sixth, I don't care, I have no rights, right, which would be, right, in Machloket, between these two, right, positions. At a sixth, right, I have the right to get my money back, but not to nullify the sale. And when it's too much, I have the right to make the sale, right, be undone. But if I don't want to, I don't have to claim those rights. And if I don't claim those rights, the mitaneh has no rights. The only time the mitaneh gets rights is when I claim more than a sixth. I say, I want my money back. Then the mitaneh can say, no. You're right, I overcharged you, but now my rights kick in. And I have the right to tell you I'm gonna undo the sale rather than give you back all the money, because that's too much, right? But if you say no, we're always negotiating between their rights, right? Between the rights of the me'aneh / the monetary system to have a certain stability to it, and the rights of the mit'aneh, right? Of the person who is disadvantaged, then once it's hit that magic number, which we've defined as too egregious for the monetary system to hold, to respect, so it collapses whether the Me'aneh wants it or the Mit'aneh wants it. It doesn't matter. It automatically collapses because it wasn't even a Mekach.
So yeah. Is that expressing anyone's rights?
Right, so it's a question of, is it right? Right, is it, well, right, you could, I guess, do the Kenyan again if you wanted to, right? Or you could. But yeah, I mean, according to him, it's not even rights. It's that we've built in to the system the rights of the Me'aneh and Mit'aneh such that the monetary system doesn't respect anything or recognize anything, right, that hits a certain point, regardless of what anyone wants to do, right? Because, right, we've built into the system their rights in such a way that even if these specific people, right, wanted to continue, it doesn't matter because, as he says, Ein Sham Mashiach HaKlal, it doesn't count.
But that's not expressing anyone's right to claim anything. That's just saying that.
Correct. It's not even right. I mean, it's more like the Ma'aneh's rights were built into what the monetary system can recognize, right? At which point it collapses, and therefore the Ma'aneh has the right to go back, even if, right, the Mit'aneh doesn't want to. Right? It seems bizarre, but that's what that's what Benyamin takes it. Yeah.
The other view is more in line with contract law, because one of the issues in contract law is that there's a meeting of the mind, and so even if the buyer knows he's overcharged by more than a sixth and he still wants it, there's a meeting of the mind. Then you have to get into the mechila thing that we talked about last week, but that's a whole other issue. But as far as the contract, if he wants it at the overpriced, then there's a meeting of the mind.
Right.
So look at it like contract law. If it's more
right,
than
though Chazal didn't really have a very.
Normally we say automatically there's no meeting of the mind because that's not what he bargained for. But if he wants it still and he knows at the end,
right.
Say there is a.
So halacha is a bit hard this way because contract law, this is, I think, Chaim Seiman's point, that halacha doesn't really have contract law in the modern sense at all. Right? Meaning, it's
so
much more.
The view that opposed Rabbeinu Yonah, so.
The Rivam.
Yeah, the Rivam. He's in line with contract law. I'm just saying.
Okay, right. Meaning, yeah. Right. But right. But trying to map it on is a little bit hard, right? So it is, but yes. Okay. So. Where was I? Right. So this is why I say it's about the rights of the Me'aneh, right? Because if you look at right his language, he says stam mekach sheish bo no yosem mishos mekach tozu. Right. It's usually mekach toz and more than a sixth. Now, in this case, it might not be. Right. They might want to keep it, but the monetary system has formalized, so to speak, the rights of the Me'aneh and built it into the system. Right. So it's somewhere in between. The chayim shein yachol lidvo and also min adin mahader beikai sheina the mochel no yosem mishos vafilo no shos in the mochel hilchach came in the mistama yachshav no the chayim shein yachol lidvo and also min adin mahader beikai, and he goes on in this direction until the end. But that's the main point of Rabbeinu Yonah. I gave you the whole thing if you want to read it inside. Now the Rush in 4 quite quotes it in a slightly shorter form, not that much shorter, but slightly. Right, and he says, "Harivam perish to be yeshem mishdos ainam anet choser elam kain hamis anet toveya onaso." Aval mis anet wrote salam on mecho poter as a maanam idmei ono ainam anet yachol levatal mecho. The Amar leilav doni stani. Right, the Rivam says the only time the overcharger can get out of the deal once it's past the sixth is if the undercharged, sorry, the overcharged person, the mit anet, decides he wants to leave it. Because then he said, otherwise, you're giving rights to the Me'aneh. We don't want to. Right? And so you see from the Rivam's formulation in the Rush, right, not like what you're saying. He's saying, no. His problem was he doesn't want to give any rights to the Me'aneh. Right? How he explains less than a six, presumably it's just Mechila.
But again, I still think it's there. It's just unspoken.
Possibly, but the Rivam really doesn't.
The rights of the Mit'aneh is only because of the rights of the Me'aneh.
Possibly, or because we just assume Mechila.
Again,
right.
I'm not happy
right.
With
it. I know, but the way the Rush quotes the Rivam, it seems that way. Right? Because he says, why doesn't he get rights? Because the Me'aneh doesn't get rights. Right? Because he was the overcharger. That's all. That's the way it is. That was the what he adds really to in the formulation of the Rivam, and then he cites Rabbeinu Yona in the next paragraph. Who perish? Rabbeinu Yona zal the hadikam shneim chozren. Hainu calls man shemata shem mit ane yachal achzer. Gam mani yachal achzer rava. Hainu taima. Glomatzi amar liav neoni son. Why does Rabbeinu Yona say what he says? Mishum de ein chazaras ham ane. El mishum lesa de chazaras ham is ane. The mekach sheish bo toz biyaser mishtoz mistama yachzer rava mis ane. The cheven sheyachal ledvana. So vada yivat al mekach. Right, again, it's this mix of what the monetary system recognizes and what is formally the case. And what should normally psychologically be the case, right? Since normally the overcharged would want to get out of it, even if he doesn't want to get out of it, he doesn't have a choice, because it was built into how we define monetary law, that past the six, since most people who are overcharged more than six would want to get out of the deal, the deal never stood. Jane Mochal no Yosem Ishus, Rafil Low no Shus, Mochel Hilkoch, Kavan de Mistama, Mekachtozu, right? Since it's normally a Mekachtoz, Gamma Mahana Choser, Dalo Shaikh, Lamimer, Lav Doni Son, Sharei, Kinosim Nosim, Blom Mashicha Dami, right? And because in this case, since it's the type of cell it normally wouldn't be recognized, the Masa Kinyan, when you actually bought it, it's not halachically recognized, even if, you know, you want it. Okay. So that is, right, again, Reb Lichtenstein noted, right, this, that you seem to have this machlokas, where the Rivam primarily views this 1/6 business before, at, and more than 1/6 as how much rights do we give to the underpaid or the overcharged, as opposed to the position of Rabbeinu Yonah, where we set up a monetary system that negotiates the rights of the buyer and the seller, the overcharged and the undercharged, and therefore, even if in one case it happens not to make sense, it doesn't matter, because what's at hand here, what's the issue at hand, is that we set up a system that assumes certain certain positions by different monetary parties, and then we define the monetary system in light of those negotiated rights. And therefore, when you hit more than a sixth, even if in this particular case the overcharger is the one who wants to get out of it and the overcharged doesn't, since the monetary system never recognized anything more than a sixth because it's considered too egregious, even though it would advantage the person who was the me'ane, it doesn't matter, because this is about defining the monetary system which negotiates rights and not actually giving rights particularly to the mit'ane. So that was Varon's basic point.
Can I just try to do a 1-second summary that might help me?
Okay, fine.
You're saying that the Rivam's position is that 1/6 is the point at which the victim's rights, or the victim's pain really, reaches a threshold where we say he's not going to forgive it and we're going to act on it.
Correct.
Whereas the view of Rabbeinu Yonah is that we are balancing the rights of the seller and the rights of the buyer, and they happen to break even at this 1/6 point.
Correct.
Okay.
We still haven't explained why we get to the arbitrary six, but that explained this central machlokas between the Rivam and
I don't agree,
the.
But at least I understand.
Okay. Fine. Okay.
Yeah, but Rabbeinu Yonah sounds more like consumer law than commercial law, because you have under consumer protection law sometimes that a buyer can't waive certain things. It's like the sale is null.
Right.
Void. But between two sophisticated business partners, parties, like Rivam, it makes sense.
So that would be interesting if we could distinguish.
Yeah.
We also the problem is that there you also have other factors that come into play in deciding what you can waive and what you can't waive beyond this particular transaction. There are certain things that for the good of society we don't want waived.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's the monetary system. You can look at it that way too. The whole thing that he said. There's this monetary system, and we can't leave it above that.
Yeah. Okay, so now if we just look at five is Shulchan Aruch. How do we paskin on this central machlokas? So, Haisau now Yaseir al Shus Kol Shu. Kigon Shemachar Shavashishim Vechamishim Bachos Mipruta. Batal Amekach, Vinis Ana Yachal Lachzar Chevetz, Veloik Naklal, Ava Ma'ana Ena Yachal Lachzar, Yimratza Zevit Kibel. First position of Shulchan Aruch is if it's more than a sixth, so the overcharged can get out of it, the overcharger cannot get out of it, unless the overcharged wants to renege. And some people say no. Once it's past the six, both sides can get out of it. Unless the Mizana already said it was okay. With an exception, fine. But fundamentally, he quotes both positions in Shulchan Aruch, both the position of Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rivam. Okay, fine. But none of this explains, right, where we came up with the magic number 1/6, right? It just explains, okay, well, how do we relate to the 1/6? But where did that particular number come from? What? Percentage.
Okay. What? Do we know at this point why there has to be a middle region in between?
No, that's part of the question, right? Part of the question is, why do we have numbers at all? Right, and the second question is, if we have numbers, why were they magically a sixth? Right? And the answer to that question is extremely unclear. So one possibility, which would be very inviting but is wrong, it's undeniably incorrect, is that there is a pasuk. There is no such pasuk. The Gemara does seem to have a pasuk for the sort of parallel halacha of, not of Ona'a, but of Hafkat Sha'arim. So if you look in 6, Amar Shmuel, this is the sugya in Bava Basra, Ein Emosifin al Hamidos Yoser Mishtos. Right, when you add to the measurements, you can't add more than 6. Well, on Medbe Yoser Mishtos, nor on coins. And when you profit, it can't be more than a sixth. Emosifin al Hamidos Yoser Mishtos. Why is this the number for expanding the size of measurements? My time. So E Lema Mishum Afkue Tara. If it's just because of the problem of Hafkad Sha'arim, that you're not allowed to raise and manipulate prices, Shtos Namilo. So you can't do that up to a sixth either. So isn't it because of overcharging? So you won't create a situation where the sale is undone. But that doesn't work because you're talking about a measurement. And called which is we're going to have to come back to one day, right? Anything which is measured, right? I sell you a dozen eggs. You can't say, okay, well, since I sell you a dozen eggs, it's always fine for me to leave out one, right? Because that's less than a sixth. That doesn't work. You sell exactly a dozen. Avil pachos megdeo na chozer. So there won't, it won't cause a loss to the merchant. But Rafcha lo boy, right? So it won't cause a loss, but right. But why is he getting the advantage, right? He's making it a little bit bigger. So the Gemara said, Zavan v'Zavan tagri ikri. He said, well, both buyer and seller, right? He buys and sells, right? Whatever he does, right, it's going to advantage and disadvantage on him depending on whether he's buying and selling. So where did he come up with this? From a pasuk, va'ashekel esrim geira esrim shkolim chamisha ve'esrim shkolim asara v'chamisha shekel hamana yelochem. Right. So the reason he says that specifically by measurements you can't change it by a sixth is because of this pasuk, which we darshan as follows: mane is masan va'arba and havu. Right. It's mane is 140. So elishmamina tlas goes like this. Right, masan var bain, right? Yeah, 140. Shmamina mana shel kodesh kaful haya. So the holy mana was double, whatever. Shmamina mosiv alamidos vein mosiv in yosem mishos. Shmamina shusa milivar. So how did we get that from this? So it's esrim geira, esrim shkolim, chamisha v'esrim shkolim, asara v'chamisha shekel hamana yelachem. Do you follow this drasha totally?
I do. Yeah, but you don't need to spend time.
Right. It's I just don't want to like. The point is, it's a sixth, which is really a fifth, right? In the expanding of measurements, he had a pasuk from which he derived that it's a fifth, right? A outside sixth, which is an inside fifth, it's 20%. Okay, that's the point. Now, it would be very nice to say, oh, look, we have this magic number by Mosif and Alhamidos of right adding to the measurements that has a six, so well, that's where Onah is from, is also a six. But it's obviously untrue, because A, the Gemara explicitly rejected this to do with Onah, and it's a special halacha by adding to the size of the measurements and the weights and measures. Second of all, this six is the fifth. The sixth by Onah is a sixth, right? They're not the same sixth, right? The sixth by Onah is shtus milaga, right? Is milago. It's a, right, 16.6%. The sixth of changing the measurements is milavar, is 20%. Right? So they're not even the same sixth. Right? So it's clearly not a pasuk, because it's not talking about Onah, and it's not talking about the same sixth. So the chances... Well, I take it back. By Onah, it's a machlokas. Here it is not a machlokas. It is clearly a fifth. Right? The way we paskin is that it's a sixth. Right? Onah is a sixth. There is a machlokas whether Onah is a sixth or a fifth. We paskin that it is a sixth. Right? 16.6% and not 20%. The Gemara has a machlokas if it's, right, 20% or 16.6%, but there is no machlokas here that is 20%. Right? So it's not necessarily the same sixth, we'll put it that way. And the Gemara also rejected that this is about Onah. It's a special halacha in Mosif and Alamidos, right? Adding to the weights, the weight of the weights and the measure of the measures. Right, and as Rambam right quotes it in 7, right? Bnei Midian Sharat Hosav Alamidos, all Mishklos, Lo Siva Yesel Shus, Shima Yakav, Mechel Hamisha Vasel, Mechel Shishar, Shus Biyadan, Yesel Shishar Lo Yasa. Right, that's what the Rambam summarizes. This is Allah about adding to the weights and measures. Okay, so if it's not a pasuk, if it's not a pasuk, other proof that it's not a pasuk, right? If we didn't already prove that it wasn't a pasuk, the best proof that it's not a pasuk is to show that there are many exceptions to this rule, right? Because yes, Rava set out his programmatic rule, and Onah is a sixth, more or less than exactly a sixth. Great, but that's not always true. For example, in 8, right? The Gemara on Nun Aleph Amud Beis, the Nun Beis Amud Aleph from the Mishnah of the Gemara says, okay, what if you have Onah with selling coins? You're actually selling coins, right? You're selling gold coins. You're selling silver coins. So the Gemara says, how much does it have to be missing in the coin for it to be considered Onah? A sixth? So the Gemara says, Kama de'asel chaser v'lo yeba Onah. Rebbeir Omer, arba isarot, isar ledinar. Rebbe Yehuda Omer, arba pidyonot, pundion ledinar. And Rebbe Shimon Omer, shmona pundiot, shnei pundion ledinar. Now, without getting into the exact math, what that comes out to is 1/24th, 1/12th, or 1/6th. Okay? Without trying to get into how many coins are each one, just take my word for it, that the machlokas here is, when you're selling coins, you're actually a currency, right? You're doing currency exchange. There's a three-way machlokas in the Mishnah, whether the overcharge number, the magic number, is 1/24th, 1/12th, or Reb Shimon says 1/6th. And then how long do you get to return? So by regular onah, we said until you show it to a merchant or your friend, or your relative, b'krachim akadeshir l'sholchani. With money, you have to show it to the money changer. B'kfarim, if you live in a small town, there are no money changers, you wait till you go to the big town, which is Arve Shabbosos, you have at least till Friday. Imayam makira, afil achar shneim azar chodesh, mekab lahimenu, ein lo alav taromes, v'noz l'may zersheni, v'ein achosh sheino elo nefesh ra. Fine, we'll leave that for when we actually get to Nun Aleph. The Gemara says, urumini. Ad kamate asela chasera v'yibe ona. So Amar Papa lokasha tani didan kachashiv mimata limala tanavra kachashiv mi limala limata. So first the Gemara says there seems to be a stira because in our Mishnah it says kamatehe asela, right? How much, which implies that at a sixth it is already ona'a. And in the Brisa it says until which point will it be ona'a. Which means that if you actually hit the sixth, right, the difference is exactly at a sixth, right? Is exactly a sixth onah, right? Umachter, or is it too much? So the Gemara says it doesn't matter. They're just talking about different things. One is starting from the bottom up, and one is starting from the top down, but they mean the same thing. Maishna b'sel de pligi, umaishna tazlo pligi. But now the Gemara says, okay, fine. So assume that this is the same, right? We've worked out the question of exactly a sixth, or exactly a 12th, or exactly a 24th. But why is there even a machlokas by money, which there isn't by a talis? By a talis, we paskind, a sixth. So Amarava, Mantan, a talis, Reb Shimoni. So Rava said, no, there is such a machlokas. Reb Shimon, in our Mishnah, who says that the onah of a coin is a sixth, is the author of the Mishnah, who says that onah is always a sixth. But yes, Reb Yehuda and Reb Meir would say that Onah is only a 12th or a 24th. But the Gemara concludes, no. Abai Amar Talis Achtos, Machil Inish. By commodities, right, when you're buying something, people forgive up to a 6th. The Amri Inish, Ashik Lagabech V'Shaveh L'Kraseich. Sela, right, they forgive it because the overcharging to you is worth it to your stomach. Which is whatever it means, but they're willing to forgive it. That's the point. Sela kaven lo sagi lelo machil. But by money, they don't forgive it, right? They don't forgive it by money. By money, people are much more medactic, right? You're giving me a coin; I want it to be perfect, right? I don't care. A sixth. That no, not a sixth, a 12th or a 24th.
Because it's going to be passed on.
Yeah, it's going to be passed on. I mean, it's been it right. I mean, ashik l'gabeich shavi l'kraseich. Meaning, you're going to eat it, right? I sold you an apple, you're going to eat it, or I'm going to eat it, it's done. Money, I have to pass it on. I'm more machbid because I need to convince the next person to deal with the money, right? As opposed to like buying food or buying whatever. Even lehalacha, there's a machlokes, whether we how we paskin. Right? Shulchan Aruch in 9 says, Yesho nam meman beyas ad shtus. Right? Many Rishonim say that we paskin like Reb Shimon, that it's a sixth, and then explains it. Kei tzera reisha dinar zav b'chav dal dinar kesev, it's arfa besrim dinar b'chav ches, ha-reza machzer. Oh no, yes, al shtus batel, ha-tzeir pachl mikan mechil, and then he just explains how you get there. If you skip to the Ramah says, and this is saying the Rith, the Yeshomer, the Shir Ona, Bimad Beya, Echad Mi Beya, some say we paskin like, right? We paskin that it's a 12th. Upachum is having Mechila, yes, I was at Bittel Mekach. And then we apply all the same halachos of more and less than a 6th to more and less than a 12th. Now, in theory, right, if you paskin like Reb Shimon that it's a 6th across the board, so you. Maybe you could say there's some misora, some xeris hakasov, some something, because in the end of the day, we all paskin a six on everything, but we don't.
I mean, you could, if you really hung up on a samar, the idea that it's xeris hakasov, you could say the xeris hakasov is 1/6 for this narrow set of items.
Correct.
Like you already said, I don't know the karkos, I don't know lava.
Correct. You could say it, right? You could say, okay, there's multiple xeris hakasov, right?
Multiple xeris hakasov. These are xeris hakasov. This is a derabanan that was modeled on. You know,
correct. You could do that if you wanted to, right? But it's going to get more complicated once you realize that, okay, there's a big exception to this rule, which is money, where there are two positions in Tanaim that is a 12th and 24th, and even Lahalacha, it's not clear that we paskin it's a 6th. And once you start breaking down the 6th, it gets harder and harder. Not impossible to say that there's a Xeris HaKasov floating out there somewhere, but if there was a Xeris HaKasov, you would expect it to be uniform. Not a 6th for this, and a 12th for that, and a 24th for that. And as we'll see, by Karka, we got the same problem. We'll come back to Karka, but Eino Nola Karkos, which either means there's no Nola Karkos, there's a no up to 100%, there's a no up to 50%, there's a no, there's only a difference at exactly a 6th, right? As we'll see, there are many different positions of what it means Eino Nola Karkos. And once you have multiple exceptions, right, which may have Ona, but at different numbers, right? Because if you think Karka has no Ona, fine. If you think Karka has Ona, but at a 50%, 100%, and you think Madbeya has Ona, but at a 12th or a 24th, right? The more exceptions to the rule, the harder to believe there is one.
Your best proof is that the Gemara never says one.
Well, yes, that was my first proof. My first proof is never said. The other one is the death by 1,000 cuts, you know? Is that, right? It also seems very unlikely to be true.
Only to say, what is the meaning of that? And so you don't have Ona in Karkot, and you see that they have a lot.
No, so that's what so that I said. We're going to come back to
maybe
that.
Maybe the name Ona, it's something specific.
Right.
Correct. Well, we're going to come back to Karka, and that's why I don't want to get into Karka in depth. Right, I just put the mission on 11. Right, now some people think there's just no Ona, meaning there's an Isser, but there's no like the Ramban. There's an Isser, but there's no right. There are no halachos of returning money. But the Balei Tosfos don't believe that. Right, the Balei HaTosfos quote the Yerushalmi and think there is Ona, meaning there's a point at which you have to return the money, it's just a different point. Right? 50% or 100% or whatever it is, but there's a different number. Now, again, I don't want to get into those, right? That I just gave you the summary in Shulchan Aruch, just so you can see it, right? That Elu Dvarim Shein Lam Ona, Avadim Vashtar Shvach Karkoz Vak, Neshos Afil Machar Shava Elef Bedina or Shava Dino Be'elef, Ein Baim Ona. Hagan Ramah says, V'yesh Nomrim Didavka Ad Palga, V'yosrim V'Palga, Kigon Shemachar Lo Echad Yosrim V'Shnaim Eve Ona. But some say, at a 50%, everything changes. Right? So, you have Karka, which according to many Rishonim, has a cutoff point, but it's not a 6th. You have coins, which the Tanaim already tell you there's a cutoff point, and it's not a 6th. And then, besides the proof that there are multiple exceptions to the rule, and the Gemara never offered a pasuk, number 10, right? If this wasn't proof enough, our Gemara, Daf Nun, Ibayelu, Pachas Mishtos L'Rabanan, when it is less than a 6th, La'altar Havei Mechilob G'deshir L'Tagar L'Krovo, right? When does that magic number of 6, right, less than a 6th, when is that relevant? Immediately there's mechila, or do you have to wait till you go to the businessman? Which tells you, what does the Gemara assume a 6th is predicated on? Not some pasuk, but on mechila, and is trying to figure out, at what point does someone waive his rights to the less than a 6th? Is it when he shows it to the businessman, to his, right, to the expert, or not? And if it, you have to wait until you actually show it to your to the businessman, Ma'ika ben shows the bachelor, shows the what's the difference between less than a sixth and exactly a sixth. So the Gemara says, Ika dilu shtus yadoel yona ratza chozer ratza konem umachzer ona. Because at a sixth, you have the right to either renege or to demand the sixth back. You pachlof mishtus kano machzer ona. And less than a sixth, you don't have that right. You have to. Right, you have the right. The sale has to stand. The only question is, do you lose your rights to that less than 6 money immediately, or only once you've asked your tagar and chosen not to pursue it? But the point is, the Gemara is assuming that the less than a sixth is predicated not on some magic zeres hakasuv ban mechila, and then the Gemara just asks, okay, well, at what point do you forgive it? Do you forgive it immediately? You forgive it when you've already asked somebody, but. The Gemara isn't using language of Gzeiras HaKasev. The Gemara is using language of Mechila, of at what point do people waive their rights? Which tends to lead me in the direction that it is not some magic Gzeiras HaKasev, because it's about Mechila. What that means, we'll come back to. Now, despite all of what I've just said, that's not going to stop people from saying there's a Halach al Moshe Misinai. We're going to see that. But I'm just building up the evidence that I can't imagine that this is actually true, right? Because there is no Pasuk. There are exceptions to the rule, and the Gemara itself predicates it on Mechila, on a psychological reality of the person who was overcharged either forgiving or not forgiving. Okay. On the other hand, right, there does seem to be a magic to the number 1/6, because the number 1/6 doesn't just appear in Ona, it also appears in the number that's in Havkat Sharim, except it's a different sixth, right? Possibly. It also appears in the source that's between number 12 and 13, that somehow didn't get a number, right? The Gemara in Mishnah and Gemara in Subos, Tadi Tesman, based to Kofam and Aleph. Shom Hadayanin. Shepichu Shtus O Sifu Shtus. If Bezdin is in charge of selling property for Yisomim, without getting into the context of the Gemara, but Bezdin is in charge of making an assessment of property. And they make a mistake. What number? A sixth. So, Machran, Batel. At a sixth, exactly, it is Batel. Even not with more than a shtis, right? Not more than a sixth. At a sixth, it is Batel. So, the halacha is different, right? When Bezdin makes a mistake, at a sixth, the sale is undone. Even not, you don't have to wait for it to be more than a sixth. But the magic number, a sixth, stays true. Rishuman ben Gamliel Omer Mechron Kayem. He says, no. It must stand because Imkain Makalach Beis Din Yafa. You can't just make the sales of Bezdin, the assessments of Bezdin, meaningless, because then you are undercutting the power of Bezdin. Avalim aso igeret bikar beinen afil machra shava mana b'masayim shava masayim b'mana mechron kayem. Once they get involved and write this assessment, it doesn't matter, it always stands. Ibailu, the Gemara says, Shliach Keman. Okay, what about a Shliach?
What is this, Igeris?
So that's, he just, if you make the assessment document, it stands, and that's it. Right? The Igeret Bikaret, right?
As I understand it, the Dayanim, all they did was do some sort of an appraisal.
Right, an appraisal, right.
But then there was outside parties, they sold it on the basis
correct.
Of this.
Correct. And at that appraisal. Point, so Rav Shimon Gamliel says, is it be correct, right? Right. They made this agreement of like appraisal.
Okay, I thought that this was, is some sort of an agreement between the two parties.
It's the sale that's being overseen by the appraisal of Bezdin. Right. In this case, are you saying so bikar b'nei I feel machron shavim mana b'masayim or shavim masayim b'mana machron gayim? Right. Whatever the number comes out to, once Bezdin was involved in appraising it, the sale stands. And then the Gemara says, okay, I have another case. What about shliach? What if I send a shliach to appraise something, right? So then what happens? How much can he make a mistake? Rav Amar, Rav Nachman, shliach kedayanin. The shliach is also like the judges. Rav Shmuel, Rabisna, Amar, Rav Nachman, kalmana. He's not like the dayanin, he's like an almana, which again is that, so again we're not going to get into it. But the point is that the first position in the Gemara expands this halacha to also mistakes made by a shliach, right? So, this sixth, despite the fact that it's not some Gzeiras HaKasuv, Chazal were very into this number, a six. Now, why? So, you could just say that this case, where Bezdin is appraising something and overseeing a sale, is really just a case of Ona'a. Because at the end of the day, Bezdin is involved in a sale, and it ends up being a sixth off. So, the Shita Mekubetzet quotes from the Rashi in the Madura Kama. It's not the Rashi we have, but it's the Rashi in the manuscript. Right, where they assess the property on behalf of the Yisomim, on behalf of the orphan, so that they could give it to the buyer, or they could pay off their creditors. It's more than a sixth off, it's invalid. And then he said, but wait a second. We're talking about karka. We're talking about an appraisal of land. I thought, eno no le karkos. Says, hainu legabe balabaya. That's a normal seller. But if there's a shliach or a judge, there is ona. Because you can tell, the owner of the land can say, I sent you to help me and not to hurt me. The cave into the legabe balakarka ikona legabe lokech nami ikona heichad lokech hayidei shliach, and therefore in this case there's going to be ona even by kark at a sixth loshan acher shepichzu shush shamu shush yosha aldamav minasnu lebal kovuch siu shush shamu bizal. Okay, now what does he tell you from Rashi? That Rashi views this as based on the halachos of ona. Okay, if it was ona, I would expect first of all, a sixth would be kana o machzer ona. But here, exactly at a sixth, the sale is undone. Second of all, as he notes, this is karka. Right? And karka normally has no rules of ona, or at least not at a sixth. And here, we're saying there's ona, and the ona is at this magic number of a sixth. Which tells you, yet again, that A, there is something to the sixth that Chazal like, but it's not some gzeres hakasuf, because here we've broken all rules, right? We have the magic number of six, but a sixth is, we undo the sale rather than just returning the ona. And we're here, because Beis Din's involved, we're magically applying the laws of ona to karka, right? Which tells you, right, that this is somehow ona, because there is overcharging going on. And he calls this ona, even though it breaks all the previous rules that we knew about ona. Now, not everyone thinks that this halacha is about ona, which could sort of help you, right? Which is if you look at the Maharit quoted in the Shemek Betzed, he doesn't quote the word ona. He just says, "Im asu ger bikar shemachor ba'achraz afil machor mona mevasayim va'afilu man diamar de karkaos ona ein lem avol bitol mekach yesh lem yosher mishtos ha'chamishum davei masabes." And he says, even though there's no ona because it's karka, there is something else called bitol mekach when Beis Din is involved, right? So he says, okay, it's not really ona because ain't ona lekarkos. It's something else called bitul mekach when Beis Din is involved in a sale. Fine. So this isn't the case of ona that breaks all rules. But it still emphasizes the point that the magic number of sixth is still being borrowed for other areas of halacha, namely for shom hadayanim. So you have yet another case where the magic number of sixth comes up, but it's applied in different ways, and maybe, according to Rashi, it's ona, and even within ona, the magic number of sixth is not absolute, and is applied different ways in different cases, even by karka, even at exactly a sixth, right? Everything totally breaks down in this case. In 15, you get another case. Amar Rav Nachman, ha'achen shechilko arein kelekuchos. When brothers divide an estate, they are like buyers. And therefore, if they made a mistake in how much they gave to each brother, paros mishtos nikne mekach. Yes, shtos batal mekach. Shtos kano machzer ona. We apply the rules of ona, right? Amar Rava, but hadamar paros mishtos nikne mekach. Larman el delo shavise shliach. But Rava says that if it's less than a sixth and you divided the land through a messenger, right? Shavise shliach. Amar l'tekune shidarticha velo la'avusi. So, even less than a sixth, the brothers have to redivide the land. And now we have yet another problem, because here the Gemara explicitly calls it ona'ah. And yet the Gemara says that ona'ah, the rules of ona'ah change if there's a shliach. Right? If there's a shliach. Now why would the laws of ona'ah change if there was a shliach? So Tosfos has three possibilities in 16. Aval shavi shliach matzi amar le takuni shidarticha. V'im tomar amrinan berg amman nizone shliach keman rava amar Rav Nachman shliach kedayon in mashon the pachod mishtos hamekach kayam. I don't get it. He said in the sugya we saw in Ksubos, it said shliach is kedayonin. So they do get the rights of a sixth. And here Rava says that a shliach doesn't get an advantage of a six. Mashma, tamekach batel af bepachot mishos v'omer Rashbam. So the Rashbam answers, dahasam Rava mishum dirav Nachman kamar v'leilo svira lei v'hacham mishmei dinavshei. So first he just solves the technical problem, is that there's a machlokus between Rava himself and Rava and the Emor of Nachman, whether less than a six, the shliach sale won't be, division of land won't be valid. Rabbeinu Tam mefarish. Rabbeinu Tam says, look, hasa ma'ir b'shliach hadayonin, dalmu rabbanon liyos kimosa. A shliach bezdin can make a mistake up to a sixth. Hacha ma'ir b'shliach deshavir lokeach atzmo. A normal shliach can't even make a mistake of a sixth. Inami, yesh lomar, or you could say, dinahin dekam ar hasam shliach kidayonin v'amekach chayim ha'ona, mietzarch lahachzir. Or maybe the two gemaras work together. And the Gemara in Ksuvos just tells you that when you make a mistake of less than a sixth, the sale stands. But the Gemara here tells you that even though the sale stands, if a shliach divided it, you have to return even the 12th, or the 24th, or the 50th. V'chanami hachi gamar l'takune shidar tichav. Because he's going to say, I sent you to help me, v'chitzarach l'achzer onah, and you have to return the onah. V'lo kishar adam d'pachon mishtos havei mechila. So what I'm most worried about is the last position of Tosfos, right? The last position of Tosfos says, this is a case of ona'a. It is less than a sixth. It abides by the normal rules of ona'a such that less than a sixth, the sale stands. But because we assume that when you send a shliach, you're not going to be mochel, because you're going to tell the shliach, I didn't want you to mess me over. And therefore, even a 12th, you're going to get angry at the shliach if he, you know, if he undercharged or overpaid or whatever the case may be. So, magically, here we say that even though the normal rules of ona'a apply, you have to return the money even if it's 1/12. So it's a case of ona'a. The law of ona'a that less than a sixth the sale is going to stand remains true, and we still make you return less than a sixth because we can't assume mechila when there's a shliach. Which leads me to believe, right, again, I'm beating a dead horse, but I think it's obviously true, there is no pasuk for a sixth. The Gemara has infinite exceptions to a sixth, right? Karka may have onah, not at a sixth. Shliach may have less than a sixth. You have to return the money because you're not mochel. By coins, it may be a 12th or a 24th. The only pasuk we seem to have is by changing the amounts of your weights and measures, and even there is possibly a different sixth. It's 20%. Bezdin, we have the sixth number, which may or may not be onah. Now, that leads me to believe that basically what Chazal are doing is saying a sixth is our best guess at when people are mochel and when they're not. Some cases, people are not going to be mochel. Coins. Some people will be mochel for more. Karka. Sometimes, they're not going to be mochel because there was a shliach involved and you expect more of your shliach. Sometimes you expect more because bezdin's involved. We make our best guess. The number is about a sixth, with some exceptions built in for changing psychological realities depending on who's involved and what the thing you're selling is, because this is an assessment of what people are probably doing when they're involved in commerce.
It would have been nice to see a Gemara saying v'chachamim kavu.
Well, right, and that's what we're going to get to, right? But I want to show why I think the achronim are going to say chachamim kavu. First, by just proving that it seems to be that that has to be what's going on. Despite everything I've just said, I'm going to end with this source. Right. Despite all of this, many of the Ashkenazi Rishonim seem to have been convinced that there is in fact a Gzeiras HaKasuv. And where did they find it? The Baal HaTurim. Ish et amito v'aresa sofei tevos shtus. The pasuk referring to ona'a, the last letter of the words in that pasuk are shin tuf vav tuf shtut. And that's how you know that it's a sixth. So despite the fact that the Gemara never says it's a pasuk, there are a million exceptions, both in terms of numbers, above, below, the people involved, and that we find this number in cases which are not obviously onah, and are the only thing that matters is, were you or were you not mochel, like Shom HaDayanin? Despite all that evidence, the Chachmei Ashkenaz apparently believed that there was some pasuk floating out there. If not a real pasuk, a sofei tevot in the pasuk of Onah, right? Of Ish Ait Amito V'Aresa. But as I've tried to show today, right, the evidence, as far as I can tell in the Gemara, does not stack up for this, right? It seems to be really Chazal's assessment of how much people are willing to be mochel, how egregious is it when you overcharge. But what we'll come back to next week is, now that we've actually proven this, as much as I think I can, we'll try to explain this, right? Why is it that Chazal have the right to do this, right? And where did they come up with their number? And look through a few more very important sugyas where this question of what exactly is the nature of the sixth comes up. Specifically, the most important sugya will be, okay, what if you have a case where it is a sixth, but the onah is not a pruta, right? Where then you might have another reason to be mochel. How do we approach it? Which may depend on if we think it's about mechila or if we think it's about halacha mochmitzina, or gzeiras hakasuv, but that's what we're going to come back to next week.